You know, the policy says you're incapable of deploying, and that's part of the problem. And then they pull people who are actively deployed, accomplishing their mission, and send them home.
Colonel Bree Fram is a proud transgender service member. In fact, the highest-ranking active-duty transgender person serving in the United States military.
I plan on making my case that transgender people are capable, competent, and serve with distinction.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Hungarians protest Orbán's pride ban. Federal court order trumps military trans ban. And trans Colonel Bree Fram salutes inclusive armed forces. Those stories and more this week now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Sarah Montague.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 22nd, 2025. Thousands of Hungarians hit the streets of Budapest, chanting, "The people demand their rights," after Parliament passed a ban on LGBTQ pride marches. Opposition lawmakers set off rainbow flares in the chamber and distributed photoshopped images of autocratic President Viktor Orbán kissing Russian President Vladimir Putin. Orbán backed the bill, an extension of Hungary's 2021 child protection law. His 15-year reign as prime minister has been marked by anti-LGBTQ animus. Orbán celebrated the March 18th passage of the pride ban, tweeting, "We won't let woke ideology endanger our kids." Protesters blocked traffic on Budapest's iconic Erzsébet Bridge with signs reading, "The first pride was a riot. If you take our human rights, be ready for human wrongs." The European Union was quick to condemn the repressive law. EU Commissioner for Equality, Haja Labib, tweet proclaimed, "Our union is one of freedom and equality. Everyone should be able to be who they are, live and love freely. The right to gather peacefully is a fundamental right to be championed across the European Union. We stand with the LGBTQI community in Hungary and in all member states." Orbán and the EU have been in contention for more than a decade. The country's anti-queer laws have led to billions in EU financial aid being frozen. Budapest Pride organizers are defiant and promise to march as planned on June 28th. Under the new law, each of them and all attendees can be targeted using facial recognition and fined up to 200,000 forints, about $550. Last year, more than 30,000 people joined the event, and this year could be even bigger. Jojo Majersik of Budapest Pride told the Associated Press, "We've received many messages and comments from people saying, 'Until now, I haven't gone to Pride, I didn't care about it, but this year I'll be there, and I'll bring my family.'" Security forces and riot police may have their hands full.
A court-ordered pause at the Trump administration's plan to expel all transgender service members will remain in effect after a heated battle late in the day on March 21st. Judge Anna Reyes of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia had granted the government's emergency request that morning to review her temporary injunction against the ban. The Federal District Court's first openly lesbian judge has repeatedly pressed the Trump lawyers to provide specific proof of their claims. They argue that trans service members are disruptive and impair troops' ability to carry out their missions, but still have no data to satisfy Reyes' concerns. Their latest claim is that the ban only affects enlistees with gender dysphoria, the medical condition that transgender people experience when their gender identity and gender presentation are incongruent. Reyes questioned how it differs from any other treatable condition that does not preclude military service. She told beleaguered Trump lawyer Jean Lynn, "You are still excluding people who identify as transgender by focusing on those with gender dysphoria. The policy's impact is the same. This is still a ban on transgender service members." Reyes went on to slam at length what she sees as the government's hypocritical presentation of the issue. In her words, "I am not going to abide by government officials saying one thing to the public, saying what they really mean to the public, and then coming in here to the court and telling me something different, like I'm an idiot. I am not an idiot. This court is not going to be gaslit." The Secretary of Defense called it a transgender ban. This idea that you all can just come in here and pretend or have us pretend that's what's happening is not actually what's happening is totally unacceptable. Everyone knows what the ban is intended to do. Everyone knows. Judge Reyes has now extended the stay on the injunction pending further submissions on the morning of March 28th by both the plaintiffs and the government. Thus, the Pentagon's previously announced March 26th deadline for trans enlistees to voluntarily resign is on hold. Reyes also specified that if any transgender service member is negatively affected before the stay is lifted, she would expeditiously consider their request for a temporary restraining order.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is phasing out treatment for gender dysphoria. The VA announced on March 17th that hormone replacement therapy and related health care for trans patients not already in treatment would be discontinued. The VA does not provide gender-affirming surgeries but has, until now, granted letters in support of veterans seeking them. President Donald Trump's executive order defending women is the justification given for the withdrawal of care. VA Secretary Doug Collins demonstrated his sensitivity to the issue by telling reporters, "I mean no disrespect to anyone, but VA should not be focused on helping veterans attempt to change their sex. The vast majority of veterans and Americans agree, and that is why this is the right decision." Several veteran organizations don't agree, including Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Their statement called it the ultimate betrayal of those who've served and sacrificed so much for our country. Meanwhile, several transgender prisoners are suing the Trump administration over the withdrawal of their gender-affirming health care. This according to reports in Mother Jones. The ACLU asked a federal judge on March 17th to issue a temporary injunction, allowing treatment to proceed while the legal challenge continues. At least one other lawsuit is challenging attempts by the Trump administration to move trans female inmates to men's prisons.
Finally, shareholders of the Walt Disney Company want nothing to do with the right-wing push to move back to the political neutral. A proposal submitted by the right-wing think tank National Center for Public Policy Research demanded Disney's withdrawal from the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index. It also called for the ending of the company's efforts to protect all employees from discrimination, offer equal benefits, and encourage an inclusive culture. The company's board of directors recommended a no vote, noting that the proposal would not provide any additional value to shareholders, as the center claimed. Barely 1% of Disney shareholders opposed the board's recommendation at their March 20th investors meeting. To Eric Blom, the Disney vote gives us a clear statement of values from Disney shareholders. Blom is the vice president of corporate citizenship at the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. He said, "Despite the growing politicization of DEI and workplace inclusion, leading global businesses remain committed to the belief that a welcoming, inclusive environment drives innovation, boosts productivity, and strengthens the bottom line." More than 765 companies participate in HRC's Corporate Equality Index, despite an organized online campaign in recent months to force them to abandon their workplace policies and programs promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI initiatives have been quashed at several major corporations in response to boycott threats by right-wing influencer Robbie Starbuck. His victims have included Amazon, Google, Ford Motor Company, Harley-Davidson, Target, Walmart, Microsoft, Meta, and Zoom. Disney has scored a perfect 100% in the Corporate Equality Index annually since 2007. Its shareholders now join Costco and Apple investors in resisting pressure from Starbucks and his internet trolls to dump so-called woke policies. However, some critics say that Disney's product may not be keeping up with its shareholders' commitment. They point to the axing of a transgender subplot in the Disney-Pixar animated TV miniseries Win or Lose, and the disappearance of Agent Pleakley's drag disguises in the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 22nd, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazor, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Sarah Montague. Stay safe.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual.
To accept the principle that homosexuals can't shower with other people is a degree of discrimination that goes far beyond this. I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Transgender members of the U.S. military are on tenterhooks, waiting for the courts to rule on President Donald Trump's order to expel them. The Pentagon's original deadline for their voluntary resignations is running neck and neck with a federal judge's next hearing on the matter. The judicial battle will rage on, perhaps all the way to the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, a courageous trans soldier whose family has a history of valiant service refuses to leave her frontline post. She shared her story with This Way Out's David Hunt.
In the closing days of World War II, Sergeant Fred Hersicorn found himself on the receiving end of a tongue-lashing by General George S. Patton. The famously quick-tempered American general ordered Hersicorn and his crew to remove the heavy sandbags and extra armor they'd attached to the outside of their M4 Sherman tank, a vehicle notoriously vulnerable to the Germans' armor-piercing Panzerfaust grenades. Speed, not safety, was Patton's priority, as he led the Army's fast but lightly armored tanks across Europe to liberate the continent from the Nazis. Hersicorn's granddaughter, a colonel in the United States Space Force, probably wishes she had some of that discarded armor from World War II. But its value would be little more than symbolic. The attacks she faces today aren't on the battlefield. They're coming from inside the Pentagon, where she works to keep the U.S. combat ready. But don't call it friendly fire. The attacks are not accidental. Colonel Bree Fram, the proud granddaughter of a decorated Army tank commander, is a proud transgender service member. In fact, the highest-ranking active-duty transgender person serving in the United States military. To the commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, Fram, like all transgender service members, is the enemy. I'm David Hunt. On March 11th, I sat down with Colonel Fram to discuss President Trump's executive order banning transgender people from serving in the military. Unless the order is delayed or struck down by a federal judge, the military will begin purging its ranks of transgender service members this week at the direction of the Department of Defense. In fact, Fram says, the purge has already begun ahead of schedule.
We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we're already seeing the impact. We are seeing people placed on administrative leave. We are seeing people have punitive action taken against them, losing spots at school, being pulled out of prestigious programs, people being returned from deployment. You know, the policy says you're incapable of deploying, and that's part of the problem. And then they pull people who are actively deployed, accomplishing their mission, and send them home. People are also taking the voluntary separation action. So we are losing highly qualified people already because of the policy.
In his February 27th executive order, Trump said being transgender conflicts with a soldier's commitment to an honorable, truthful, and disciplined lifestyle, and is not consistent with the humility and selflessness required of a service member. The Trump administration is using both carrots and sticks to encourage trans service members to voluntarily quit the military. Those who leave willingly will receive significantly more severance pay and won't have to repay any bonuses they received, even if they have a remaining service obligation. Service members who stay and fight for their rights face a hostile, even degrading, work environment. They'll be forced to follow the standards of dress and grooming that align with the gender they were assigned at birth. That extends even to the bathroom and shower facilities they'll be required to use and how they'll be addressed by subordinates.
So that's a huge disincentive because no one wants to experience the dehumanization that comes with something like a forced detransition, which is what's going to be attempted on people based on the way the policy is written. I served under male standards for more than 15 years prior to being able to transition. And it does not matter how many years you've transitioned, or for trans people that have joined after transitioning, the government's position is that any history of it will force you to revert to previous standards. So there really is no way out right now as the policy is written.
Why, you may ask, would anyone go through the indignity of remaining in an organization that clearly does not value or respect them? Well, it turns out, the United States military is not just any organization. And service members, especially transgender service members, are not just government employees.
I plan on making my case that transgender people are capable, competent, and serve with distinction until the very last day I possibly can in wearing my nation's uniform. And that's incredibly important to me. I am a senior officer. I look around at the spirit of transgender service members and am so impressed by their courage and their bravery. How could I do anything less than try and stand with them and with the thousands of others who are making that same choice? Because we treat every single day as a gift. Every day is a gift in that we get to make more relationships with the people around us. We get to meet someone new who may never have met a trans person or a trans person in uniform before and shatter their stereotypes about who we are. And the longer we serve, the more opportunities we have to do that. And there's also the fact that we all took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. We have sworn to protect and defend this country, and we actually care. So we want to accomplish the mission we've been given and not let any of our teammates around us down, because if we depart, all of a sudden there's a hole in our unit that others have to fill and have to work even harder just to accomplish what the unit was doing while we were in it. There is absolutely a sense of responsibility and a duty to do not only what I can, but also to share the stories of others and to take care of others in any way that I possibly can. And that means working with people. That means picking up and answering emails and phone calls, not just from transgender service members, but also from their commanders and their peers, their leaders who call up and say, I've got someone in my unit. How can I help take care of them?
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm David Hunt. The status of transgender service members in the United States military has been what Colonel Bree Fram calls a wild roller coaster. As the nation's highest-ranking active-duty trans officer, she's experienced many of the twists and turns.
We have had less than a decade of open service for trans people. Some people thought that we would actually have had it for longer because some people thought that when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed in 2011, that trans people could serve openly. But it wasn't the case. It was going to be another 5 years until we got that, which I think was truly amazing that it was only 5 years, because trans rights in this country have historically been 10 or 20 years behind gay rights.
It was the last day of June 2016, Pride Month in the United States, when Defense Secretary Ash Carter announced the news. The ban on transgender military service was over. For Bree Fram, it was a defining moment in a journey that had started decades earlier.
I grew up and I knew from a very early age that there was something different about myself. I was Wonder Woman for Halloween when I was 3 and 4 years old, right alongside my younger sister. But I also, as I grew, understood what society's perception of trans people was, that this is something to be ashamed of. This is something to hide. And it really wasn't until my 30s that I got enough confidence in myself and enough self-understanding to say, no, this isn't something I like to do. This is who I am. But then I ran up against the barrier of, well, the military still says you can't serve openly. And so I did have to continue hiding who I was, even though I had accepted the fact that I was trans, and that's really who I was. So by the time 2016 rolled around and the Secretary of Defense made the announcement that trans people could serve openly, I was ready to go to come out to the world. And I had a post ready to go on Facebook and an email to my colleagues. So as soon as he finished talking, I hesitated. It took me a minute or two to gather the courage to hit post, to hit send. And then I lost it. I ran away. I found the gym buried underneath the Pentagon, and I hopped on the elliptical machine. And I say, I went nowhere faster than I'd ever gone anywhere in my life, because the nervous energy of wondering how is life going to be different now was killing me. But eventually I had to go back to the desk. I sat down, and one by one, my colleagues walked over to me, shook my hand, and said, it's an honor to serve with you.
But the roller coaster ride was just beginning. A year later, in July 2017, the new president, Donald Trump, reinstated the ban with a tweet, a post on the social media platform Twitter. A month later, Defense Secretary James Mattis announced that currently serving transgender troops would be allowed to remain in the military, pending further study. While the Pentagon studied the issue, the federal courts blocked Trump's trans military ban until 2019. In April of that year, the ban was reinstated, but not rigorously enforced. President Joe Biden reversed the ban just 5 days after taking office in January 2021. And that's how things stood until Trump returned to the White House in January of this year. The better part of a decade serving proudly and openly in the military has given Fram a clearer view of what it means to be a member of America's armed forces.
What do we expect in the military? It's that if we look to our left, we look to our right, if bad things happen, that person has my back. And so the way you prove that in most cases is Be competent. And if you meet the standard, you're part of the team, people are going to respect you and they're going to work with you. People being able to transition in the military is such an amazing opportunity, not only for that individual to be their best self, but also for their unit to then take advantage of those relationships and those capabilities that come with someone being their best self and really exhibiting that growth mindset that is so critical to all of us to say, I can be better tomorrow than I am today.
Fram takes courage and inspiration from the service members with whom she serves and from a grandfather who loved and supported her.
I was his only grandchild to go into the military, and he was so proud that every time I'd get promoted, he'd just get this big, wide-eyed smile. And unfortunately, he passed a day or two after the trans ban went into effect the first time in 2019, and I was at his bedside when that happened. And the last words he spoke were to me, because he had got to see who I was, who the real me was by that point. And he told me to keep doing what I'm doing. And it touches me to this day that someone like him could see me, could understand, could get it, and to continue to push me to new heights.
There's one other thing you should know about Fram's grandfather, Fred Hirsekorn. He was an immigrant, a German Jew, driven from his home by the hate and intolerance of an authoritarian regime. On March 11, 1936, Hirsekorn and his parents and grandmother boarded a ship in Cherbourg, France, bound for a new life in the New World. The journey he began that day, 89 years ago, isn't nearly over. It's carried on by his granddaughter as she walks, for now, the hallways of the inner rings of the Pentagon, at the heart of America's armed forces. I'd like to thank Colonel Bree Fram for sharing her story for this program. You can learn more about her writings and her podcast, Forged in Fire, at breefram.com. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
A preliminary injunction is currently keeping transgender service members like Colonel Fram from being expelled. U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes has directed the government and the plaintiffs in one of the lawsuits against the trans ban to bring her further submissions on March 28th. Reyes also vowed to see to it that individual transgender service members are protected until all the litigation is done. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap is reported this week by John Dyer V and Sarah Montague and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our correspondent was David Hunt. You heard part of the U.S. Space Force anthem Semper Supra and music by Simon and Garfunkel, Joy Hanna, and Michael Shines. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Jim Kennedy of Dayton, Ohio, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KPOV Bend, Oregon, WOMR Provincetown, Massachusetts, 5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.